Luke tonight, chapter number 24. And I want to read one verse, but I want you to keep your Bible open because we're going to refer to this chapter for a moment tonight. Luke chapter number 24 and verse number 32. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened unto us the scripture? And I'm interested tonight in that little phrase in verse 32. Did not our heart burn within us? And the Lord being our helper for the next 3 or 4 hours, praise God, I want to preach on heavenly, holy heartburns. Now, how many will agree tonight that our world needs revival? How many would agree tonight that our nation needs revival? I believe all of us would agree tonight that our state, our cities, our communities, even our churches need revival. If I didn't think God could send revival, I would not spend nearly every day of my life away from my family trying to stir the hearts of the people of God towards revival. God can send revival. But you know what? I may never see a nationwide revival. I may never see a worldwide revival. I may never even see a citywide revival. May not even see a churchwide revival. But there is one place tonight that I can see true revival. And it's down in my heart when the holy fire of God begins to burn. You don't have to be cold and lethargic and indifferent towards God. I'm glad the holy fire of God can burn in our heart. As fire illuminates, the revival fires of God can show us our way. As fire warms, the revival fires of God can warm our cold hearts in a cold world. And as fire purges and purifies, the reviving fires of God can purge us and we can live a holy life in the midst of a sinful world. But come to our text tonight, and Jesus has went to the cross. He has died for our sins and He has arisen again. And we pick up the story, what is called these two, on the road to Emmaus. Now, Emmaus was a little village 7.5 miles on the outskirts of Jerusalem. Now, we know, according to this text, that one of these is a man by the name of Cleophas. Now, ever since me and I have been preaching from this text, they have argued, they have fussed, they have even break fellowship on who the other person was in this chapter. Well, I'm glad you came tonight because I'm going to give you the authorized version. You're going to get that after a while. Joe Arthur, authorized version. I believe I know who this other unnamed person is. John chapter 19, we read it last night, verse number 25, said there were 4 women at the cross when Jesus died. Number 1, Mary his mother. Number 2, and her sister. Number 3, Mary Magdalene, whom the Lord cast out 7 devils. And number 4, Mary, the wife of Cleophas. And we know the Cleophas in John 19 is the same Cleophas in Luke 24. So I believe with all of my heart it is Cleophas and his wife by the name of Mary. You said, now preacher, it's 2 disciples on the road to Emmaus. I want to beg your pardon. It never uses the word disciple in Luke 24. It says 2 of them. And when Matthew in chapter 16, I mean Mark chapter 16, when he refers to this, he doesn't use the word disciple. That's a word somebody else threw in and not your King James Bible. It is two people on the road to Emmaus. Cleophas, and I believe his wife by the name of Mary. We do know this. Whoever they were, they had been at Jerusalem where Jesus died. And according to John 19:25, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, was not just in Jerusalem when he died. She was at the cross and saw him die. We know by the text that they're going down to the village of Emmaus, no doubt where they lived. And so they've been in Jerusalem, and they're going 7.5 miles to Emmaus. Now there are some verses and phrases used in this passage that set the stage for the text. Number one, the Bible said they were sad. Secondly, the Bible said they reasoned together, they were confused. And then the Bible said that they said to Jesus when he came and they didn't know who he was, they said, are you not aware of the things that have happened in these days? So they were sad, they were disappointed, they were confused, and they just did not understand the events of their day. I want to pick up where Brother Brian left off. That's exactly where bitterness and disappointment leaves a hurting soul. It leaves them sad and disappointed and confused and even cold in their own heart. But I'm glad, ladies and gentlemen, when the scripture comes to a close, they are not disappointed. They are not sad. They are not bewildered. They are not confused. For the darkness has turned into light. And the gloom has been turned into gladness. And the burden has been turned into blessedness. And the confusion is turned into confidence. And the apprehension is turned into assurance. Because the holy fire of God began to burn. If you're in the condition Brother Brian preached on tonight, here is the cure for the holy fire of God to burn in your heart. Tonight, if you're disappointed by the way life has turned out, the cure is for the holy fire of God to burn in your heart. If you are sad and depressed and filled with anxiety, the cure is for the holy fire of God to burn in our heart. I know we're living in the last day. I know this is a cold, hateful world in which we live. But I come to tell you that the tomb is empty. And Jesus Christ is alive. And the Holy Spirit is still in business. And the Bible is still the Word of God. And God is still for us. And you and I, as the children of God, on Emmaus Road, can experience the warming, purging, illuminating, holy fire of God. And we can leave this building tonight with a heartburn that Rolaids can't do anything about. Five things in this passage. Five things in this passage happens when the fire burns. Well, I need some help tonight. So I'm going to use this young fellow here. What is your name? No, it's Cleophas. So Cleophas, you stand. Now, this lady that you have with you, is this your wife? Do you wish it was your wife? You do. Is her mother here? Let's ask her, do you wish that? No, let's don't go there, ma'am. Let's don't go there, ma'am. It ain't good to cuss in church. Let's don't go there right now. So ask the father. Well, stay out of it right now. Okay, we're going to use Cleophas. And get on your knees. No, don't do it. And will you be Mary? Will you be Mary? Hey, you ought to do this. You get the whole hands in this. No, I'm just kidding. Come. So you're going to be Mary. So we've got Cleophas. And I know you're not easily embarrassed, but it's going to be all right. Listen, if you will help me do this and do what I say, Brother Fuller will give you $100 at the end of this sermon. She just shouted for the first time in her life. So y'all come on ahead. Over here is Jerusalem. Over here is where the cross was. Over here is where the empty tomb was. And now they're leaving Jerusalem and they're going on a 7.5-mile journey. Now let me say this. No doubt this is not the first time they had made that journey. But that journey had never been as long and hard as it is right now. And so they're going down to the little village where they live. Verse 15 in your Bible says, they communed and reasoned together. In other words, she's looking at him. And he is looking at her. And they're trying to figure out what just went on in their world. You see, they thought when the Messiah came, he was going to break the yoke of the Roman government. They thought when the Messiah came, he was going to restore Israel to her former glory. Let me say, he is and he will. But what they did not understand, they needed a Savior first and a sacrifice first and a Redeemer first so they would be fit to live in a kingdom when it did come. They just did not understand. Now, before you criticize them, how many times have you looked at your wife or your husband or your children or your parents and your friends and said, what in the world has gone on in my life? I'm glad to tell you tonight, when we don't know what, I'm glad we know who. And we may not know what 2012 holds, but I'm glad we know who holds 2012. And so they're going together. Walk real slow. You're going to enjoy this. Walk real slow. And so they are walking on this journey. And they are reasoning together. But what they don't know, there is somebody on the same road they're on. There's somebody headed in the same direction they're headed in. And he's getting closer. And he's getting closer. And he's getting closer. And he's drawing nearer. And notice what your Bible says in verse number 15. While they communed and reasoned together, Jesus himself. Underscore that word himself and park right there in shadow while. Jesus himself, not a messenger of Jesus, not an angel of Jesus, not a representative of Jesus, not a preacher of Jesus, but Jesus himself. You know what those two souls found out on the Emmaus Road when life put them in a place where only he would do? He would do. Aren't you glad when the Lord comes himself and says to you and I, I'm still God. I'm still on the throne. I'm still in control. God can do what nobody else can do for you and I. Jesus himself drew near them, and they notice what it says, and went with them. They started out by themselves. They started out just him and her. But before they reached the destination, it was Jesus, it was Jesus, it was Jesus. Write this down. Number one, when the fire burns, there is companionship. When the fire burns, there is companionship. When you get under the spout where the glory runs out and the holy fire of God begins to burn, you are made aware you have not been forsaken. You have not been abandoned. You have not been deserted. But standing somewhere in the shadows on your road of disappointment, it's the victorious, resurrected, risen, triumphant, worthy Lamb of God. Aren't you glad he said, I'll never leave thee. I'll never forsake thee. Aren't you glad he said, lo, I'm with you all the way, even to the end of the world. When the fire burns, there is companionship. We are made aware of the warm presence of the resurrected Christ. And so they start out by themselves and they find there is companionship. Now Jesus walks up to them and he says to them, "Why do you guys look so sad?" And they say to Jesus, "Man, aren't you aware of the things that have happened in Jerusalem in these days?" Watch the Bible in verse number 27. And the Bible said that Jesus, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, expounded unto them the scripture, the things concerning himself. Number two, when the fire burns, there's clarity. The Bible in your King James uses an interesting word. It said their eyes were holden. They could not see clearly. Their understanding was limited. They just couldn't see. But I'm telling you, the resurrected Christ is about to invade their world and he's going to clear matters up. And guess what he's going to use to clear matters up? The scripture. And you have a preserved copy of that same God-breathed scripture in your hand tonight. And while I'm on this subject, let me run this rabbit. Somebody said over in London, England, is a museum. And in that London, England museum, you can find the original Word of God. Number one, I've been to London and I didn't like it. Number two, I don't like museums. It reminds me of too many Baptist churches I've tried to hold revivals in. And number three, it costs too much money. And number four, I ain't got to go to stinking England to see the Word of God. I've got a copy in my hand and a bunch of stuff in my heart. And I'm glad when the Lord comes by and takes the Word of God and clears matters up. Beginning at Moses. That means he started in the book of Genesis. And all the prophets. That means he wound up in Malachi. He preached from Genesis to Malachi through the whole Old Testament. You say, how long did it take? They had 7.5 miles. And you think he preaches too long. And you think I preach too long. Our preaching ain't too long. Your religion's too short. Jesus preached for 7.5 miles. He opened unto them the scripture. I believe when I get to heaven, I may find out it may have went something like this. You know, in the book of Genesis, in the Garden of Eden, and God came down and told the woman that he would put friction between her seed and the seed of the serpent. And that serpent seed was going to bruise the heel of the woman's seed, but that woman's seed was going to bust the head of the serpent seed. That seed was me. And you know over there, when Abraham and Isaac went up on top of Mount Moriah, And it wasn't Abraham and Moses. It was Abraham and Isaac. And one on top. Don't laugh at me. I'll hit you with this microphone. And Isaac said, "Father, I see the fire. I see the knife. I see the wood. But where is the lamb?" And Abraham said, "Son, God will provide himself a lamb." That was me. And over that, when Brother Jacob put his head on that stone and saw that ladder reaching down from heaven down to planet earth and the angels of God ascending and descending, that ladder was me. And then when Moses was over there at the burning bush and God struck up a bush in his life and said, "I am that I am," that was me. And when Aaron went behind the veil on the Day of Atonement with the blood and the glory came down, that blood was me. And when Isaiah looked through a scroll and said, "A virgin shall conceive and shall call his name Emmanuel," That was me. And the Spirit of the Lord is going to be upon him to preach the gospel. And men, deliver them poor people and set at liberty them that are captives. That emancipator is me. And then he's going to be wounded for our transgression. He's going to be bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace is going to be upon him. And by stripes we're healed. The healer, that's me. And when Ezekiel, praise God, got to swimming around in the waters, I am the abundant life. And they got hooked up to Amos's yoke. And they plunged in Zechariah's fountain. And they rode on the wings of Malachi's son of righteousness. He said, I'm the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valleys, and the bright of the morning star. I'm the cornerstone. I'm the kinsman redeemer. I'm the rock. I'm the shield. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the light. And son, by the time they reached their destination, Jesus had took the scripture and showed him himself, and the fire began to burn. Thank God, I'm glad when the fires of God burn in our heart. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about them. But it's all on Jesus. He got their mind off of their confusion, off of their trouble, off of their disappointment by focusing their attention on Jesus, who is worthy of our praise. There's clarity when the fire burns. And so when they got down there to where they were, they go down to the village where they live. And your Bible said it looked like Jesus was going on further. It looked like he was going to pass them right on by. But the Bible said, verse 29, and they, we're going to see how sharp they are now, and they constrained him. That's what he's been wanting to do with her, but her daddy will kill him if he tries it. But they constrain him. Now, what does it say, verse number 29? But they constrained him, saying, abide with us. Why do they want Jesus to abide with them? For the day is far spent. It's getting dark. And we've never needed you like we need you tonight. Brother, they constrain him. When the fire burns, there's companionship. When the fire burns, there's clarity. Number three, when the fire burns, there is a constraining. Let me say it like this. Now they got to wanting to do what they were supposed to do. Now they got a case of the can't help it. Now they've got a hunger and a thirst and a desire. Let me say it like this. Being around the fire created a hunger and a desire for more of the fire. Now they got the want-tos. Now they got a hunger. They got a thirst. They're saying, we're not sad anymore. We're not confused anymore. We want you. We've got to have you. We've got a desire for you. And I love what the Bible said in this verse. And he went in to tarry with them. You'll be amazed at where he'll go when he's invited. Let me show you the difference. Before the fire and after the fire. Before the fire. Oh, Lord. It's Sunday morning again. Oh, God. Got to go to Sunday school. If I don't go, they're going to talk about me. You got that right. I ain't got to sit through preaching too. And that old choir's going to get up there and sing. And man, them young people, they loud. Good. I bet we won't be there 10 minutes till they'll be wanting money. Money, 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 money. That's all I hear down at that church. Money, 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 money. I'll tell you, he's going to get wound up a preaching. We're going to have to eat lunch with the holiness people. You'll get that after a while. Oh, Lord, I bet the first thing he's going to say is, see you tonight. Man, I can't come back tonight. I'm torn. I went out shopping and hunting and fishing all day Saturday. I'm tired. Hello? Don't look for me back. I can't help it. I can't get too much church. Cause God knows I don't want to be so heavenly minded. I'm the earthly good. You ain't got one God bless you thing to worry about. That's before the fire. Here's after the fire. Glory to God. Sunday morning. Hallelujah. Crank up the car, baby. Whoop! We're going to church. Amen. Man, I'm going to my Sunday school class. Man, it's going to be good. And then we're going to shake some hands. And then we're going to have big church. Boy, I hope that choir sings so loud. We rip the shadow. We rip the light bulbs out of the wall. Praise God. I hope they sang it again. And man, I hope he has them hits and people. Oh man, I love the way they sang. Woo! I hope he gets them McBride's back to pick them guitars and saw them fiddles and pick them banjos. You say, but I don't believe in stringed instruments. Have you ever looked inside of one of them pianos? There's 88 of them in there. And if you really want to get technically in the music world, it's literally a percussion instrument. Because you got to bang it to get something out of it. Can I get a witness? Boy, I tell you, glory to God, pass that offering plate. Woo! Pass that offering plate. Pass that offering plate. Here's the credit card. Here's the farm. Pass the offering plate. Send, take on some more missionaries. Man, hey, be quiet now. The preacher's getting ready to preach. Man, I hope he preaches. Hope he preaches at least 2 o'clock. Glory to God. Yeah, about 2:30. That'd be good. That way the homeless people will be gone before I get down to the steakhouse. Oh, man of God, preach. Boy, I hope somebody gets saved today. Glory to God, let's pray somebody gets saved today. Boy, I can't hardly wait till I shake the preacher's hand and I hope he asks me. I just hope he asks me, am I coming back tonight? You better believe I'm coming back tonight. And don't you dare do, preacher, what some of these other 2x4 Baptists done. Don't you cancel Sunday night if it ain't nobody but me and you and yours and mine. I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to the house of the Lord. You know the difference? Praise God, the fire's burned and God stirred your soul and you got a desire and a hunger. You want God. You're wanting to do what you're supposed to do. How many pastors have we got here? Here's some good pastoral advice from Dr. Arthur. Let me tell you how to reduce your church from a 5-ulcer church to a 1-ulcer church. Let the holy fire of God burn in their heart and you will have to beat and beg and pump and prime. It looks like Jesus is going further. It looks like he's going to keep on going. But they constrain him. And then they say, abide with us. And in Alabama and Mississippi and this part of Florida and up there in Georgia and over yonder in Tennessee, you know what that means? Come on in and set a spell. And the Bible said, and he went in. You'll be amazed at where he'll go when he's invited. And I just want to stop and say, if I know this preacher like I think I do, any given Sunday morning, if he decides he wants to come in and take over, he's welcome. I believe if we'll welcome him again, he'll come in and fellowship with us a little while. I'm going somewhere. Give me a few more minutes. Look in verse number 30. When the fire burns, there's companionship. When the fire burns, there's clarity. When the fire burns, there's constraining. Look in verse 30. When the fire burns, there is communion. Notice what it said, and it came to pass as he sat at meat with them. Oh, let me stop and say, Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. And he invites not his frozen people, but chosen people. Thank God when the fire burns, there's communion. Isn't it good to sit at the table with the resurrected Christ? Now watch what happens in verse number 30. It came to pass as he said at meat with them. I believe he's on one side. She's on the other side. Jesus is in the middle. And he said at meat with them. Notice verse number 30. And he took bread. And blessed it. And break it. And gave to them. Notice that little phrase. He took bread. Now normally according to that custom, they would have been the host. And Jesus would have been the guest. But now Jesus is the host. And they are the guest. Someone said, what gave him the right to take over? Huh? Are you on drugs? What do you mean? Hey, nobody doesn't have to give him the right to take over. He's God. He can take over any place that he wants to. And the Bible said, he took bread. Notice what the Bible said he did. He blessed it. And Brother Brian, you're the Bible scholar. I thought about this. He blessed it. Did he bless it when he touched it? Or did he bless it because of what he said over it? Both. Just like when he said, thy sins be forgiven thee, and when he reached you, I got a brand new sermon tonight hearing Brother Brian preach where he reached her core. Hey, I got me a brand new sermon. It'll be coming to a camp meeting near you on entitled, His Grace Reaches Me. Amen. It shattered her past. It supplied her present and secured her future. It's, hey, aren't you glad one day he reached further down than you could reach up? He took the bread and he blessed it. And the Bible said he break it. And the Bible said he gave to them. Now watch the Bible in verse number 31. After ye break and gave them the bread, verse 31, read it out loud. What does it say? And their eyes were open. Time out. They had just walked with him 7.5 miles and they didn't know him. He has just preached to them from Genesis to Malachi along the journey and they still didn't know him. They had been hand to hand, face to face, voice to voice, heart to heart, and their eyes are still closed. Glory to God. But when he gave them the bread, it opened their eyes. Someone said, preacher, what's so big and unique about giving somebody a piece of bread? Well, I believe when he handed them that bread, his garments pulled up on his sleeve. And I can't hardly get this out. I'll be back in a minute. His garment pulled up his arm and they looked down and saw the marks from the cross. They looked down and saw the nail prints from Calvary. And when they looked down and saw the prints from bloody Calvary, their eyes were open. And he said to her, and she said to him, wow. Amen. Did not how hard burned within us. If they'd have been Southerners, they'd have said, ugh, did you feel that? That was something. If they'd have been from the deep South, they'd have said, ought to know it was him. Ought to know it was him. Aren't you glad when the fire burns and you sit at the table and you get a glimpse of the cross? I'll tell you what'll cure your deceived heart, your discouraged heart, your depressed heart, your disappointed life. Go to Calvary. Get a fresh glimpse of the cross and the crucified Savior. Realize how much He loves you. And brother, the fire will burn again when we see the cross. Number five, I'm done. Notice what happens now in verse number 33. He opens their eyes. He vanishes out of their sight. They say one to another, did not our heart burn within us? I believe they said something like this. Boy, don't that feel good? I thought I'd never feel like that again. Why, that whole way walking down that road, the devil said, we'll never feel God or experience God again. But boy, don't that feel good? You know what it feels like to me? Like the first time I met Him. It feels like to me the first time He called me by name. Whoop! Man, it feels good. Does not our heart burn within us? Notice what happens in verse number 33. And they rose up that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. When the fire burns, there's companionship. When the fire burns, there's clarity. When the fire burns, there's constraining. When the fire burns, there's communion. But when the fire burns, there's courage. They've just walked 7.5 miles and had a little snack and they didn't even wait till the next day. They rose up that same hour and went back to Jerusalem. You say, what's so big about that? That's where the cross is. That's where the Roman soldiers are. That's where those Roman soldiers are hunting the rest of them like a bunch of dogs. And to go back to Jerusalem, maybe the last time they'll go back, they're putting their life on the line because they're going back. Not only that, they're making the back half of the journey in the dark. It is now dark. But they're not afraid. They're not intimidated. They're not ashamed. They got courage. Because they being in the presence of the holy fire of God. And they got a boldness they didn't have. They got a courage they didn't have. Lord God, people, I know it's late, but I'm about to preach my heart out. Can you help me just a little bit right there? Praise God, they've just gone 7.5 miles. And no doubt they're tired. No doubt they're weary. No doubt they're discouraged. But by the time the fire begins to burn, man, they're going back. Man, they got something they didn't have before. I want to tell you, want to get the church off our knees and off our face and out of the cause of intimidation and get back on Main Street and take our stand for God. It's when the holy fire of God begins to burn, and it can burn in your heart tonight. I can't help it if the whole world don't have revival. I can't help it if the whole nation doesn't have revival. I can't help it if the whole church doesn't have revival. But there is one place that it ain't nobody's choice and business but mine. And that's right down there. Thanks, guys. Give them a big hand. Didn't they do good? Brother, you get used to taking orders, because if you marry her, you'll be doing that the rest of your life. They sit at the... Right in the middle of that great Welsh revival. The London Times sent a newspaper reporter over there to Wells to do a write-up, an interview about the big meeting. And this newspaper reporter goes up to an old man standing under a lamppost and says to him, says, "Hey, old man, where's the big revival going on at in this town?" And that old man undone his coat and unbuttoned the top two buttons of his shirt and said to that reporter, "I'll tell you where the big revival's going on in that town. Right down in there. We may not have it out yonder, but praise God we can have it right down in here when the holy fire of God begins to burn." Let's stand together tonight. Brother Brian hit it on the head. You may be here disappointed, confused, bewildered, discouraged, about half depressed and mad and bitter. But why don't you walk on the road to Emmaus with the resurrected Christ and let the fire of God burn in your heart? Pastor, you come. Thank you.